Thank you, Brother Dixon. It is a blessing to be here today in the service. Let me say I'm honored to stand here in this place today. I'm always honored to come to Mount Olive ever since we began coming years ago in the old building and trying to preach. I'm honored to stand in this place where this dear man of God stands week in and week out and proclaims the gospel. And how I feel little this morning to stand in the same place where he stands every week. But I appreciate the privilege to do so this morning. And I do appreciate the privilege to stand here this morning where not only Brother Dixon stand, but the preachers have already preached in this meeting, the other preachers as well that he's had to preach in other meetings, and then to be in the presence of these dear men of God that are in our audience today. It's a privilege, and it's an honor, and I'm honored and I'm humbled as well that I have this privilege to stand in their presence. And then it's a privilege this morning to be in your presence and to stand in this place and try to proclaim the Word of God this morning. I'm glad to be among the people of God. Brother Toby, after he came down after the choir was dismissed, he said, well, that was worth the drive to feel that and to hear that song and the experience the presence of the Lord as the choir sung a while ago. And I said, I was done thinking the same thing. What a privilege to be able to come this morning on a Saturday morning and to be touched by the presence and the power of God, and to know that the world doesn't think much of Him, but He means the world to us that are saved. The Bible said, unto you that believe, He is precious. I'm thankful that He is this morning. The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner. And He's the chief cornerstone, elect and precious. I'm grateful for that this morning. And I appreciate this opportunity and invitation to come and be here in the service this morning. I sort of feel like those in the... when Jesus gave the parable of those that came the 11th hour. Here I am coming in the 11th hour. Hadn't been here yesterday or last night. But those that came in at the 11th hour received as much as those who came in at the first. I don't mean to misinterpret that text, but I realize that I have been blessed, is what I'm trying to say. And I couldn't have got everything that you got because I didn't enjoy the services yesterday and last night. But I'm privileged to be here, and I trust that the Lord will help me to say what little I need to say this morning. I don't have much preaching I'll do, but at least I'll leave you what's on my heart and the thoughts that's on my mind this morning. The book of Acts chapter 3, if you have a Bible and want to read along with us this morning, I want to read from that scripture this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse 24. Acts chapter 3, verse 24. I look there for a starting place today, and I'm mainly reading this verse to get a thought out of it and to try to preach as the Lord would help us this morning. Acts chapter 3, verse number 24. Notice this is right in the middle of a sermon that Simon Peter is preaching. And he says to those people there that have come to Solomon's porch and they're greatly wondering about the lame man that Peter and John had healed. And Peter begins to explain to them that it's not Peter and John that did it. It was the power of God, and it was in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He begins to preach to this crowd the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he gets to this point in verse number 24, and he says this, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Let's bow for prayer this morning. Father, I thank You for the privilege to pray. I thank You for the service thus far, the testimonies, the songs, and everything that's been done already, Lord. I thank You for the reading of the Scriptures this morning. I thank You for the fact that You preserved the Bible into this generation. I thank You for the portion You've directed my heart to. I pray You'd help me now to preach. I pray, God, that You'd give me heavenly unction, and I pray You'd give me a spiritual wisdom, dear Lord. I pray that You'd strengthen me physically and anoint me spiritually, that I can say what needs to be said out of this congregation this morning. Call to my remembrance of Scriptures.
I pray, God, I leave my thoughts and direct, Lord, my mouth this morning that I can proclaim the truths of the Word of God. I thank you for what you've already done, and now help us, Father. I pray that what's said and done might be for the praise and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray, God, that it be a help unto the people of God. May we apply and may we receive the engrafted Word, the Word of God. May it give us faith. May it give us courage and strength for the days that are ahead. Help us now, we pray. Oh God, let us see your glory. Work your will among us and speak to sinners and help them to come to you today. Lord, get glory, Lord, unto your high and holy name above everything else. For you are worthy this morning, and we praise you and thank you for what you do. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing this morning. I'd like to preach from this verse this morning. I really read it to get the thought that I want to emphasize. When Peter said to that crowd that day, and he said, many have spoken likewise and foretold of these days. God would help me for just a moment. I want to talk to you about these days. These days. The days that we are living in. Everybody that has ever lived has had these days. But yet you and I are in a unique position because the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Corinth and said that you are the ones upon whom the ends of the world have come. And here we are in these days. And many times when certain situations fall upon us, certain conditions come, we begin to wonder about the days that we're in. May I say to you, first of all, these days are days that we, for some part, can do absolutely nothing about. Because they are here, amen? Just as those that lived during the Civil War, just as those that lived, my friend, during Hitler's, assault upon the world. I simply could do nothing about these days. Amen? I mean, I know there's certain things that we can do, but I'm telling you, as a general rule, as a whole, these days that have fallen upon you and I, it's the time which you and I happen to be born in, happen to be living in, and happen to be serving God in. And this is the Lord that has brought us, as I preached here in other places, for such a time as this. Amen. These days. Amen. These days. Sometimes we want to swap off these days. Sometimes we want to take these days and go back to some former days. Or we'd like to take these days and go out of some future day. But the problem is we've got to live in these days. God has allowed us to come to these days. Amen. Amen. God help us then. And so what do we do? What about these days that you and I are in? Amen. Let me say to you this morning, these days have been called a lot of things. They've been called the last days. The latter days. These days that you and I live in. And I want to say to you this morning, mostly what I'll preach about this morning, I think, it's the fact that these are evil days.
Amen. Amen.
These are evil days.
Yes.
I mean, from every standpoint. Look at it this morning, friend. America will never be what she was when many of you grew up.
Amen. Amen.
I breaks my heart this morning to realize that my children will not finish their life and my grandchildren will not grow up in an America like I grew up in. She's post-Christian. Amen. And the innocency and the evil has overtaken in these days.
Well, preacher, if it's that way, why don't we all just file our Bibles up in the corner this morning and walk out of here and go back to Georgia and go back to places that we live and forget about it because though these days are evil and these days are dark and these days are discouraging, there is a God that's still working in these days. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless His name. These days. Oh my. Let me say first to you this morning, when we talk about these days, what do we need to do, preacher? How do we need to act? How do we need to conduct that? What is it that we need to consider about these days? First of all, we need to recall that the conditions that we're living in now have already been told to us by the blessed Lord. Hallelujah. Oh my, hallelujah. I want to tell you this morning, my friend, while Mr. Paulson, the head of the Federal Reserve, is gathered with his financial advisors this weekend, trying to figure out how the government can bail out America's financial institutions and how they can not only keep America afloat, but try to keep the world economy afloat. While they don't know really what to do, but try to pump some more money in that they really don't have to start with. I tell you, the God of heaven knew we was going to be in these days before we ever got to these days. Woo! Paul wrote to Timothy. Paul's sending out his life. Paul's these days are about over with. But he warned Timothy, that son in the faith. He said to him now, Timothy, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Amen. Men are going to be boasters, proud, blasphemers. And you know that whole list that he goes through there in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Amen. Any high-minded traitors. Hey God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. The Lord knew how it would be socially, and the Lord knew how it would be spiritually. And the Lord has laid for us the conditions of society in these days. Amen. Hallelujah. Went on to say when he got to 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine. But will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears and shall be turned from the truth unto fables.
Amen.
We're in that day. We've reached that time. These are that particular scripture is in these days.
Amen.
We've arrived. We're here. And so it gives me consolation. I don't know. I bet God knew aforetime how it would be. Hallelujah. And He let us in on the fact that the conditions that exist in these days, He knew would exist, that He knew was coming. Hallelujah. And He told us about it. Amen. They hadn't caught God unaware. God's not wringing His hands this morning. God hadn't called a council in heaven to see what we can do. Thank God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, He's worked everything after the counsel of His own will. He already knows and the end from the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Bless His name this morning. That gives me confidence this morning. I don't know that if God knew how it was going to be and He pinned it down. Hallelujah. Just as Peter said, Samuel, beginning with Samuel, and the prophets had followed him. They spoke of these days. They foretold of these days. God gave that apostle Paul, God, the understanding of what was going to be in these days. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh my. So let me say, when it comes to these days, recall the fact that the conditions that now exist have been taught to us by the Lord. What do we do in these days? Well, let me say, we not only recall that the Lord has spoken about these conditions, but secondly, how it ought to. I thank God, resolve to be constant in these days. Amen? Resolve to be constant. You see, there's a lot of inconsistency. There's a lot of departing from the faith.
Amen?
There's a lot of seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Hallelujah. And there is a pull and a compromise of the biblical way. There is a pull from this world. There's a pull from the religious world to go a different way. But this Bible says it'll be like this. But stay with the staff this morning.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 13, the Bible said, "Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Hallelujah. Oh yeah. "And having done all, to stand." Stand, therefore. Resolve to be constant. Hallelujah. Well, bless His name. Hallelujah. Some of you have done reached the age that, hallelujah. Now you're old enough now that you can say, "I'm old enough, I'm too old, it don't matter, hallelujah, I'm not going to change." Hallelujah. Right. Praise God for that. And I appreciate men, Brother Toby, that have stood, that are aged men in our presence today that have stood and towed the line and hewed the line and stood in the gap and made up the hedge and are here before us today and still holding up the bloodstained banner and still, thank God, staying with what's right. I appreciate that. Thank God for you this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. May I say, thank God, you reached the age that you're too old. The change now. Too old to compromise now. Been too many miles, seen too many things. Thank God the change now. Oh, bless His name. Well, what about the rest of us? What about us that still, if the Lord don't come, got a few years on us, all that? Well, we not be, may not be the age, but hallelujah, we're too close to the finish line. Woo! The finish line is just right out there. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. Thank God. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. I hadn't reached the half a century mark. I hadn't reached 50 years old yet. Oh, Lord, how did I say to you this morning? Thank God the finish line's too near. Thank God the change now. Hallelujah. The race is about run. Well, bless His name. Thank God. And the good things are laid up for those that are faithful. Oh, bless His name. Thank God. And physically and age-wise, I may not be there yet. But in the times, a frame of God's plan, we're nearing the shore and we're near the finish line. Hallelujah, thank God. No need to change now, just stand.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're in the minority, preacher. We always have been. As far as world standards are concerned. Hallelujah. Noah was in a minority. Hallelujah. Abraham was in a minority. Moses was in a minority. Jacob was in a minority. Hallelujah. Jeremiah was in a minority. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. And out under that starlit night, down in Bethlehem, I was a little old woman, and her husband, that agreed to marry her, though the child, but in her womb wasn't his, but the Lord had said, she's been faithful, and the there's something special going on. Hallelujah. And they walked that starlit night in the Bethlehem, Judah. Hallelujah. And they're in the stable. We're a minority. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. While the world frolicked, while Rome had their joys, while Jerusalem reveled in their religion, in that lowly stable, I was born the Savior of the world, as in a minority. But hallelujah, the angels come out of heaven and said to the shepherd, we got some good news for you. Something's going on over in Bethlehem. And you ought to get over there and see what it is. Hey, we may be in the minority this morning. Hallelujah. And the world may not be looking on at Mount Olive. Their eyes may be fixed in Washington or wherever. That the financial heads are meeting today. But the angels are noticing that something's going on around Mount Olive this morning. Thank God. It's the business of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Having done all to stand therefore. How can we be constant? How can we be constant? How can we stand when it looks like up to this time we've done all to stand? And it looked like we just barely standing now. So how are we going to stand therefore in the rest of these days that are left? Well, we're not going to do it by looking to the right or looking to the left. Because you look to the right, there's too many that have walked off and laid her down and departed from the faith. And that'll discourage you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I don't even know you can look at the people. Hey, God. Because Moses stood that day when he came off of the mountain and watched how the people had quickly turned out of the way and how they could realize the God that brought them out of Egypt. Now the worship of God made out of a golden calf. Hey, how can you stand? You don't stand by looking at somebody else or putting all your trust in your membership or your preacher friends or anybody else. But you stand. Hallelujah. Thank God. We're the whole armor of God. Amen. How do we stand in these days? We stand clothed, girt about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, and taking the shield of faith. Hallelujah. And the sword of the Spirit. Hallelujah. You can stand. Hallelujah. Can you stand? Sure you can. In that frame? Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. Oh, yeah. David stood. When nobody else had faced Goliath, David stood. Hallelujah. In these days. And now it was those days, but when he stood, it was these days. Woo! Hallelujah. Bless his name. Oh, his name eludes me, but that fellow that stood, it was one of the mighty men of David. And he stood and his hand clave to the sword. And when everybody else ran from the Philistines, he just stood out there one day and said, I've run off for the last time. Hey, God, we've grown these crops and we've raised these crops. And you Philistines have come and took everything from us. And I'm tired of my family starving to death. I believe I'm just going to stand here. And the Bible said his hand clave to the sword. Hallelujah. And God wrote a great victory. That day he slew the Philistine. I'm telling you, hey God, we just need to resolve and to stay constant in this world and in these days.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Resolving to stay constant or resolving to stand. Or standing therefore. When you stand with God means sometimes you have folks that stand against you. See, here's what people have a problem with. And the church of our day has become so weak, so easily, their feelings hurt. That when you stand against something that is wrong, they take it personally.
Amen. Amen.
Can't you understand when your preacher stands against something you want to bring in, some idea you coughed up over your workplace, or some religious nut has my friend has shoveled off to you because you watched him on television or heard him on the radio, and you want to bring that stuff in over the local house of God, and you just come over there, ain't God all twinkle toed, ain't God in bubbly and feeling good all over, amen, and come in and say, preacher, I think we'll do this, and he just stands there and looks at you, and says, we ain't having that here, not as long as I'm here. Then you say, he hates me. He don't hate you. He's not standing against you. It's that stuff you're trying to bring in. Hallelujah. And because he stands against that, that means he's standing against you. Thank God, go back and thank God for a man of God. I better warn and realize what's going on and stay with the truth. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, well. Just have to stand this day. Man, there's a million things running through my mind, and you only got time to listen to me preach a million things. So. Would y'all settle for half a million? Let's bargain a little bit. Hallelujah. I mean, really. Preachers say things they really don't have to say. Pastors say things they really don't have to say. I mean, years ago, he didn't have to say it. Because mom and daddy took care of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And they knew how to tell their daughter to dress, come to the house of God. But now he has to say something about it. He has to say, now, sister, when you come back next Lord's Day, wear a little bit more clothes. You're indecent. You're immodest. Amen. Is anybody listening to me? Yes. Used to, mom and daddy said, you ain't leaving the house that way. Right. And you especially ain't going to church that
Amen.
Way.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Are y'all listening to me? Yes. Hallelujah. But preachers say a whole lot of things nowadays, you know. Hallelujah. Amen. And I can't help it, ma'am. I just told you got off of work and want to run by the church on Wednesday night in your blue jeans. I ain't got in your pantsuit. Hey, are you listening to me? I told you don't have time to go by the house and change before you come out of the church. Well, excuse me this morning, ma'am. Hallelujah. I wear what you need to wear that day out of work that you can wear the house of God. I take it with you and change before you leave. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Anybody listening to me? Of course, you'd get your heart just real good and right. Hey, man, there wouldn't be no double standard. You'd just do that way all the time, and then we wouldn't have to worry about it. Well, well. So I'm about standing there for. And, sir, I'm just sorry. But if you've been married more than one time, you can't preach in this pulpit.
Amen. Amen.
Just part of it. Amen. Just part of it. There's some things, you know, that have to stand there for. You're losing your crowd. They're headed over the hill. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord. That's what they did with Jesus that day. Standing on the other side of the shore of the Lake of Gennesaret. And he watched them go away and never called them back.
Right.
But he turned around back to him and said, will you also go away? And Peter said, Lord, who in the world are we going to go to? Nobody has the words of eternal life like you.
Right.
And you like that Christ, the Son of the living God. If we walk away from you, where else is there to go?
Amen.
What do we need to do in these days? We need to remember that the Lord told us about these conditions, or recall it, and then we need to resolve to remain constant, or to just stand. And you have to stand with His arm. You can't stand in nobody else's. You can't wear Saul and defeat Goliath. Woo! I know what's been proven, Brother Dixon. Hallelujah. Woo! Y'all don't mind I shout a little bit, do you? Hey, I don't care much now whether you mind or not. I'm feeling like it. Hallelujah. Y'all understand what I mean, don't you? Hallelujah. Oh, in a day when Midian went after Saul's armor. Now, Lord, we need to stay with what's been proved and stand, therefore, girded about with the armor of the Lord. Not only we need to remember the condition, we need to resolve to be constant, or recall the conditions, resolve to be constant. We need to redeem the clock or redeem the time. What's that good book said? Amen. Ephesians 5:15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do we buy the time? How do we purchase the time? Colossians 4:5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. How do we buy the time? You do it by walking circumspectly. You do it by walking in wisdom. Walking circumspectly is carefully. It means cautiously. It means before you put your foot down, make sure that's where you need to put your foot down at. Amen. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We don't have time how to take a lot of detours and sidetracks. How we don't have time how to walk uncarefully and go back and have to clean up and apologize and redo and fix a lot of stuff. Time's getting away from us. So to buy it, walk circumspectly and walk in wisdom. Hallelujah. And use what time you have. These are evil days.
Amen.
Hallelujah. But win everybody you can. Preach to everybody God will let you. Amen. Pray over souls. And live right before them. And somebody will follow you. Thank God. Somebody will follow you home. There'll be a lot that'll scoff, a lot that'll mock. There'll be a few that'll stay with you. Hallelujah. Well, what about these days? Well, we need to recall. The Lord done told us about these conditions. We need to resolve just to be constant. We need to redeem the clock or buy the time. And we do that by walking circumspectly and walking in wisdom. And lastly, what do we do in these days as the children of God and the people of God and saved by grace? What do? Well, we remember His commitment to us. Hallelujah. When those that say they've committed to the church wind up uncommitted. Boy, this is really happening now. Those that commit to you in marriage decide they don't want to be committed. And we're here. We're there. Amen. Those that commit to you as a friend or to be their shepherd or pastor, they wind up uncommitted. Friends wind up uncommitted. Oh, there's a lot of uncommitment now. But I'm telling you, there's one that's committed himself to us. And he ain't going to run out just because these days are here. Hallelujah. Woo! He's committed and He's promised some things. First of all, I'll never leave thee. Nor I'll never forsake thee.
Amen.
Lo, I'm with thee always.
Amen.
Even to the end of the world.
That's right.
Is He going back on that commitment? Oh, no. But what about everybody else? Oh, He didn't say nothing about everybody else. He just said, don't worry about me. I'll never leave thee.
Amen.
I'll never forsake thee.
Amen.
Lo, I'm with thee always.
Amen.
Even to the end. I like that promise, don't you? I like that promise that He gave to the Apostle Paul. My grace is sufficient for thee. Lord, you don't understand these days. You don't understand this thorn in the flesh. You don't understand how this messenger of Satan's buffeting me. Oh, I do, Paul, and I tell you, I won't move it, though you've asked me 3 times, but I will give you grace. Hallelujah. I will give you grace. Paul said, if I'm going to get grace, I'm going to get that power of Christ on my life. He said, I'm going to start glory in my infirmities. Hallelujah. I'm going to start bragging about when I get weak, because He said when I get weak, all of a sudden He gets real strong. And His strength is made perfect in the weakness that I have. Hallelujah. But when I'm weak, then I am strong. Hallelujah. He said there's something about Christ and His power that rests upon me. When I am weak and when I am firm and when I can't go on, there's something that's beyond me and beyond my ability that picks me up and keeps me going. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The grace of God is sufficient in these days. I like the fact that He hadn't left us comfortless. He's with us in the person of the Holy Ghost, another comforter. I'm glad He's around. Hallelujah. Well, bless His name. And sitting there on that pew this morning, y'all got singing that song. I got the feeling Him show up. I mean, he rode over here with me. I mean, He's inside of me, inside of you, but He manifested Himself a while ago, and I sure enjoyed it when He did. Bless His name. By the way, He don't just show up when y'all sing in the choir, or somebody sings special, or somebody preaches, or somebody testifies, or I hear somebody pray. Sometimes I'm just driving down the road by myself, or sometimes off somewhere by myself, and sometimes in the middle of the night or in the early morning hours, all of a sudden there He is. Hallelujah. I get to a place I say, Lord, I just can't, I just don't think like I can hold up under this no more. I just don't think I can bear this no more. I just don't think I can tote this load no more. All of a sudden I'll feel Him. Thank God sort of come up under me and say, well, let me have to tote it a while. Hallelujah. Y'all ever felt that?
Amen.
Oh, I've prayed sometime, Brother Willis, and I know I'm not telling y'all anything new and probably not near as deep as y'all's experienced, some of you. But I'll tell you, there have been times when my prayer has been out to God and I'm hurting so bad I couldn't hardly breathe. I don't mean physically, but I was crying out to Him. And the situation I was crying Him out to Him about was so oppressing and burdening me that I couldn't hardly get it out. I cried help. I pleaded mercy. I said, oh God, I couldn't hardly breathe. And all of a sudden, just like that, hallelujah, I'd go from the depths of despair. I go from the bottom of the pit. I feel complete calmness. A complete sereneness. Hallelujah. And He didn't say it, but down inside of me, it's like everything's all right. Everything's going to be okay. Hallelujah. I'm going to take care of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Probably I've told have a whole lot of that in these days. But He's committed to us. He's committed to do that in these days. Let me say, I need to hush. Hallelujah. Oh my. I appreciate His commitment to us, don't you? The comfort that He gives us, the fact that He's promised us. Oh, I like the fact. He's coming for us. When do you think He's coming for us, preacher? And in days like these.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Woo! Hallelujah. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Oh, preacher, ain't you looking for the man of sin? I ain't trying to figure out who he is.
Amen.
Hallelujah. That's right. Well, I remember a lot of that stuff over the years, Brother Dixon. I'm sure you do too, you know. 8 reasons or 88 reasons why Jesus will come in 88. And, you know, all that stuff, you know. And I never forget years ago, Brother Willis walking into a fellow I'd preached for several times. Walking in, he said, Henry Kissinger is he's the man. How'd you figure that out? He said, I put in his name, I got numbers, go for his name, and added all numbers up, and it wound up 666. Hallelujah. Turned out Henry Kissinger wasn't a man.
That's right.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh my. Amen. Somebody says Obama the man. Hallelujah. Well, he claims, you know, and a lot of folks claim for him, he's Messiah. I don't think he's the man. He sure is a prototype.
Yes, sir. You're right. Amen.
He's a prototype.
Sure he is.
I don't mean that ugly. I'm not trying to pull some party this month. I'm not trying to preach politics. I'm just telling you he's a prototype. When folk can swoon at his speeches, hallelujah, and think he's some kind of Messiah, he's a prototype. Hallelujah. But I'm not worried about that man, whoever he is, hallelujah. The man is the one I'm looking for, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Woo! Hallelujah. If I don't get back to Scottsboro and you don't get back to Georgia, thank God, if we're saved, we're going to have a better place to go and a better meeting. Hallelujah, when we get there. Amen. Yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Amen. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be changed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And there's going to be a meeting in the air. Oh yes. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. I show you a mystery. We're not all going to sleep. How about we'll be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. For the trump shall sound. And the dead shall be raised incorruptible. And we shall be changed. And this mortal will put on immortality. This corruption will put on incorruption. Hallelujah. Oh yes. And when that happens, thank God. And when death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. We'll cry, oh death, where is thy sting? Oh grave, where is thy victory? Hallelujah. It's all been conquered by the Lord Jesus Christ. He must reign till all enemies are put under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, stirred up about that fact. That he's coming in these days. These things begin to come to pass. Then look up and lift up your head for your redemption. Hallelujah. Oh, as John the Revelator said, even so come, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We're awaiting it. We're anxious for it. We're anticipating it. Hallelujah. And I believe by the time it gets here in these days, we're going to be mighty glad he's here.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're going to have enough of this world and be sick enough of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. That's what we do in these days. Looking up.
Amen.
Looking unto him. I wonder, what are you going to do, child of God, in these days? Will you remember his commitment to you? Will you redeem? Will you resolve to be constant? Would you remember he's already told us about these conditions? Just what would you do in these days? Then I'll say lastly, somebody may be here today and I missed, never been saved. You know, I've been telling saints what to do in these days. What do I do, preacher, in these days? The same thing you have to do in days gone by. Repent, believe the gospel. Repentance towards God, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ecclesiastes said it in 12, Ecclesiastes 12:1. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. For the years draw nigh. Days come, thou shalt say, the evil years, evil days. And thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, I think that's old age. I think that's the time when life becomes a burden because of all the things that happen to the body. That's the evil days. But I tell you this, do well to remember your Creator before those dark days.
Amen.
These are dark today. You better remember it now, your Creator.
Amen.
While you can.
Amen.
While you have the opportunity. Everybody stand, please. I'm through preaching. It's all right, Brother Dixon. We'll sing a verse of song. We sang a verse of song this morning. Maybe you need to use the altar. Maybe you as a child of God need to come and talk to the Lord about these days. Maybe these days have really burdened you down and discouraged you, defeated you, dimmed your vision. I wonder, would you love to come and say, Lord, by your grace, I'm just going to stand with the armor of God. I'm going to walk circumspect. I'm going to redeem the time. Whatever you need to pray about, you ought to come this morning. If you're not saved, you ought to come this morning. Get on your knees, bow on this altar, and say, Lord, before it's everlasting, eternally too late. Before the evil days of judgment.